Good morning. This is the Rancho Marietta Community Service District Security Meeting, February 9th, 10 a.m. Call to order. With that, I'll wait for the line of public comment to settle in. Not seeing any, I'm going to move on to item number three, Amelia, which will be the monthly updates. Kelly?
Sure. Good morning. We'll start with our operations update. Currently, we have 8 full-time gate officers and 1 part-time officer, gate officer, working with us. We also have, in patrol, we have 3 patrol officers. Vacant, we still have 1 part-time gate officer position, and we have 3 patrol officers that are vacant, and this is due to the hard hiring freeze. We are still utilizing only 1 ABA contractor for our gate relief. And if we were able to hire another part-time gate officer, we could probably go away from the contract officer. We're just waiting for that.
Hold on, let me think that through for a second. So what would be full staffing for gate officers?
To fill the 2 part-time positions that we have. We filled 1 of them, but she's a college student. There's restrictions with her availability. If we can get a part-time officer that's just can work anytime, any place, anywhere, that would kind of fill our needs. But it's the challenge of finding that kind of person to fill those part-time positions is very difficult. So that's why we maintain our ABA contract.
Okay. So what? Off top of your head, what is the overtime rate for the gate officers? Is it manageable? Is it appropriate? Are we asking?
No, I think we're for a contractor or for the
for regular staff.
Regular staff, I think we're fully staffed. They're happy. We don't see a lot of overtime for our gates in general, but when someone goes out on vacation, when someone starts to leave and wants regular time off, that's when we go into it. So, and the ABA officer helps out a lot. He's basically almost full time for us. Ideally, if those 2 part time positions could take his 40 hours and do 20 here, 20 guaranteed every week, that'd be ideal. But finding those candidates to do that is very hard. So his availability for the contract is why we keep him around until I can master that and get those 2 officers, 2 part-time officers filled up.
Mm-hmm. Tim, were you asking more about the cost of overtime with our existing versus the use of ABI?
I'm starting to try and wrap my head around that, right?
Okay.
So again, a certain amount of overtime is good. Mm-hmm. It does a lot of things for the employees, you know, all those other things. Too much overtime, then we have to go to the next FTE. Puts too much demand, right? So now you work it backwards and go, okay, what I'm paying the contractor versus I can bring that in-house. What I have to then compare that to is what in the next fiscal cycle does Measure J pay for, right? And so what does that look like in that all-encompassing from that standpoint? So that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around, Kelly, to go, what's the cost of the contractor versus we take 2 half-time FTEs, make it 1, and then what does that look like? Because right now, the 3 vacant patrol positions are where we're trying to keep the ship righted when it comes to Measure J funding.
Right.
So maybe I'll have my answers from the finance side as we look at the fiscal budget.
Yeah.
And then we could potentially give you some clearer direction, if you will, on, okay, this is what we're going to look for. And because, again, I think as you brought to our attention, some of the standby and those things, we put some of those things in place, maybe we don't have to rely on a contract a vendor.
And Kelly, you may have that information.
Not specifically what he's asking for as far as the overtime. We can provide that to you. we can, I can just go to Paul's people and say, hey, how much overtime did we do for contract, or how much we paid in general last year?
Yeah, why don't you take the lead on that, Kelly? Get that information to the board.
If you would, because that's at the end of the day when
how much we paid for contract last year.
Yeah, and then we can verse it to what an FTE is, and then now we have some decisions to make. Where do we have more flexibility, long-term, those types of things?
Right.
And then I can push it to the board from that standpoint, because then that would tie into what does Measure J funding look for us next fiscal cycle. And I think that would then be the roadmap for what we can do.
Right, right.
It'll help.
Yeah, sure. Okay, where did I leave off at? Patrol shifts. In the month of January, we had 90 shifts for the month, and we were able to cover 56 of those 90 shifts.
Okay.
Again, there's no overtime for patrol, so we weren't able to cover all the shifts. Safety center repairs. I understand, Amelia, help me out with this. The contracts have been signed and sent.
Contracts have been signed and sent. The windows have been ordered. They're beautiful, beautiful black frames. I looked at all of those. The flashing that's going to be on the outside and above the windows is ordered 7 to 8 weeks lead time on the windows.
That's right.
So I do have a I do have a schedule, which I'll put in next month.
So the frames are same color as your glasses, if I understand.
And they're the same color as all our windows here.
Okay. Got it. So then really we're looking for a July 1 opening of the...
I think it's summertime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometime before we see that.
Yeah.
I'll include the, in next month's meeting, the timeline.
Yeah, as we get it, right? And I think it'll be thrown off. There's a supply chain issue. I don't know if you've heard of it. And then just we really don't know, once we open the walls, what we inherited.
We have an idea that there's going to be something.
Oh, I guarantee it. And it might be you don't have to go to Florida. That's where all the mice are.
Right.
Okay, so maybe we can save some money.
Snakes.
Snakes. Oh. I'll be out of there if there's snakes. So.
Right.
Not a
fan.
Well,
that's because that's
why
the mice.
Why was there a gunshot? Well, several of them. Yeah.
All right, talking about supply and demand, our Toyota truck, I just spoke to the gentleman last week, and he's estimating another 3 to 4 weeks before it's here, but it is ours. We should have that. 3 to 4 weeks is what he's saying. I go on to the ballistic vest. I don't know if it's another agenda topic, so I'll just briefly talk about that. And it is, the vests are in the preview of what the general manager can spend.
Correct.
However, I know per Paula talking to her yesterday, there is a, we're looking for the board to approve the language.
Correct.
To change the MOU to be part of the uniforms, and I can go into that a little bit later. But in general, those are the two things that we're asking for.
And so will we have meet confer done?
I think they waived that, did they?
Yes.
From top Paula, yeah.
I could speak to that.
Please.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Paula's here.
Hi, Paula.
She's
sorry.
Sick at home.
Sick at home.
Good morning. Forgive me if I don't sound like I normally do. I'm a little under the weather at the moment.
You want a cigar?
I can speak to that. I have been in contact with Darren's team, or the OE3 representative, and they are willing to waive the meet and confer. So at this point, all we need is board approval on the side letter or through resolution. And so I'm preparing that for the 15th board agenda if the security committee is authorizing that to move forward for board approval.
The answer is yes to that, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving on, supply of motor rotor batteries, they're about 4 or 5 years old. They've reached their lifespan, and so we had to replace those, and it's about $1,000, and we received those. And they're not the same as Motorola, because there's a supply chain issue with those. So they're, a knockoff, but they're a different brand.
Brand X,
and it was about $1,000, so we replaced those, and that was a needed. We were down to like 3 radios, so that was a necessary need. Okay, and moving on to the Rancher.
Can we stay with radios for a second?
Oh, sure.
Are we going to move forward with that replacement for the loaner? We move to RMA.
I asked for an estimate because you directed me last time. I'm still waiting for them to get back to me with the estimate. But yes, RMA has a charger,
right,
a battery, and a radio we loaned out to them. Once I get the estimate back from them for the radios that we have, then I can...
Okay. If their batteries are Motorola and better, we'll just sneak
there. They have been worrying... Now, it kind of goes into RMA. We loaned out the radio, and they're online with us, and it has been working out pretty well. We have instant communication with them, so that part actually is working well with us, to have instant communication with the compliance officers. Okay, moving on to RMA. I spoke to the Director of Compliance, Chris Smith, about stop signs. I wanted to make sure that we were on even par with them. I took some videos of what a stop sign violation looks like right over here in the south, right when you came in. And
what day was this? What did the vehicle look like?
right. But, yeah. And the videos showed, hey, what they consider a California stop, they're not citing for. They're clearly looking for the violations where the hood does not bend. It's just clear violations like that. So I showed those to them what would work for compliance as approval or not. So that way we're all kind of on the same page until we get those cameras put in our system. We want to make sure we're doing the same kind of violations they are, because we don't have them on camera right now. So, and I shared that with Mel. And like I said, they're looking for just the clear running of the limit line, not even a brake tap that we'll decide for. So they're looking for really good violations of the stop sign. So,
got it. Mm-hmm. Is there any value to trying to put an educational video out on what we're looking for that RMA can post, saying, you know, here are the expectations, et cetera, et cetera? I think I answered my question by hell no, because I have a California driver's license. It expired, but that's
right.
Neither here nor there. When I did have it, I knew what the expectations were, right? I think what you just described is we're now on the same page.
Right.
And I think that's more critical because of the consistency, right? That when it shows up, here's what you actually did to get to this level. I think that's more critical. So I answered my question on the video. Thank you.
And I know they're interested in they're purchasing two machines that will enforce speeding at a much better rate than that we could. So that will allow us to focus on other things. So that should help. We worked with the RMA several times. Some vandalisms that happened at the in the gazebo area next to the North Gate. Working with them, we also when we look at our citations, we talked about citations. Well, we talked about working as a team to work together, so we're not enforcing at the same time. When they do their enforcements, we talked about the dog citations, and so we are in active communications with our compliance officers almost on a daily basis, actually. So, okay, other things, we held last month a garden association meeting here. They came actually to the safety seminar, and overwhelmingly they expressed what they said basically to this board last month, that they wanted more time to look at the cameras. They didn't have adequate notifications. They wanted to have a lot of detailed questions. Mike was there, I was there, and Travis was there, so we were able to get the committee feedback, and basically we told them, hey, come to our board meeting. It's there every Wednesday, and they did. So
I think at the end of the day, we tried to do our due diligence when we met with them. Mm-hmm. That one resident, the lady, I don't want stomach acid burnt over this, right?
Right.
We took the input of whoever those folks from the garden were and moved forward. It appears it wasn't the folks from the garden to tell us to move forward. So we'll wait and we'll move forward when we can. Truly, at the end of the day, as much as the lady that spoke disagreed that cameras had any value, and we've had another resident articulate that ad nauseum to us, I think as a community, it's our best bet. At the end of the day,
and I'll have some examples when I get to my notes.
And I think, you know, as we all know from the, you know, we instructed them, let your HOA tell us where they want them, and I think that's wise, because, you know, 2 weeks won't go by and someone else will say, well, I want them over here, and so we don't want to be any part of their tug of war. We want to provide the security that they deserve, but we want to be direct by their own HOA.
Yeah, and because again, it's. as we put probably the most beneficial camera, the one by the Mobile Village going to the airport, the association had no problem. We just had a resident that once we got over the 14th Amendment infractions, you know, it's working rather well.
Right.
So again, this is one of those cases where we actually were proactive, and shame on us. So
right.
There it is. Okay, I'm sorry.
And they're having their meeting, their HOA meeting will be March 1st.
And it might be their first one, right? Second one?
Maybe it's the third one.
Nice.
Because they're using our room.
Okay.
So.
At what cost?
You know, it's...
I'll let it go. Continue on.
Okay. So before I go to that, Director Booth gave me some questions, and I would like to address them now. Is this a good time? Or did you want to...
Was it dealing with RMA?
The percentages of where we are in patrol, and I have some raw data on that.
I think a couple of things. I saw that. I want to say I responded back, so the answer is he did bring it up to you, so yes, we'll cover it. But we can go into...
I just have a little information.
Okay, continue on.
Okay. One of the issues that questions were asked, and actually this question is asked quite a bit from board members and from other people in the community, and it's a simple question, but our data doesn't show it, but I'm starting to keep track now. How many calls do we go to inside the gates versus how many calls we go outside the gates? It's a simple question, but it's not tracked that way.
Correct.
So, because last year we had 3,200 calls, and it doesn't bifurcate it like that way.
And
so,
that's calendar year, correct?
Yes, calendar year. Last year we had 3,200 calls for service. However, to give us indication, with my math, we really want to check it. Everyone gets a calculator out and really check this. But this year, up until yesterday or this morning, we've had 118 calls on the inside of the gates, and we've had 15 on the outside. Now, isn't that like 89% so far?
Hang on, now you're going to make me get my calculator.
So I'm thinking it's 89%, right?
What did you get, 15?
118 in?
Close enough.
Isn't that 88, 89, something like that?
13%.
No, for in calls.
Yeah, 13% of the calls were outside the gates while...
No, the in number is what I wanted.
Yeah.
What's in?
You wanted the percentage?
Yes.
12.7% of it was outside calls.
Okay.
That's what I said, 13%.
So you didn't tell us you rounded up.
So 87%.
Oh, okay, 87%. I thought it was 88, but okay. Yeah. About 87% or 88% of calls so far are inside the gates.
Okay.
And that's the trend I think will continue. It's just a sample so far with summer coming up. I think that's about... Even though it's not the whole year, I think that will show.
I'm not surprised by it.
Okay.
You know, again, bigger profile, higher value, i.e., the RV.
Right.
You know, businesses broken into that 13% is a big 13%, right?
Right.
So, but total time on task of staff and that demand, that 87%.
Right.
Is
we're only in, a month and a half in? So I think that it's going to continue that trend, but we'll see.
Okay.
So I'll have that every month report.
No, how about if you do it quarterly?
Quarterly. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't need to do it. And now that we know, I would even say quarterly at the soonest. And
okay.
It could even go semi-annual. I don't need staff.
Okay.
Yeah, quarterly's fine.
Okay.
Honestly,
but I want to at least give some kind of answer because I couldn't go back through 3,000 call or 3,200 calls and do it that way. So at least now, going forward, we'll have that information.
Perfect. That's good.
And that does not include the citations. We wrote 633 citations last year inside the gates. So that's even more time if you look at it that way.
Say that again.
633 last year.
That's within the compound. Okay.
Correct. And the other thing I want to address, we're not the only ones that write citations. RMA wrote 973 last year. So a lot of time
nine,
inside.
Nine what?
973.
If you do the percentage there, Amelia, please.
Yeah, don't ask me.
You don't want it, do you?
I do. Please. Because then that's going to describe time on task, workload of staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote 65% as many citations as they wrote.
Perfect. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
And then the last part of this with time is that The minute they get in the car, they have a list that shows up. It's a computerized list of security checkpoints that they have to go to. And there's approximately, 34 checks on the outside that we go to?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And 32 checks on the inside we go to. And if you do the checks from 1 to 32 or 34, all 60 checks, 60 plus checks, that could take anywhere from 3 to 4 hours if you just did that. So that just kind of gives like a timeline of where what we did, where we're at. So checks were kind of even, but then clearly I think it's going to be a no-brainer this time next year when I report on it. We will have spent 90% of time inside the gates.
So
our majority of our time will be inside the gates going forward. I know a lot of people want that information, so I just kind of put this together.
That's perfect.
And I do have a correction, sir.
Oh.
We wrote 34%. Of the total tickets that were written.
Inside.
39. Go again. Mr. Math did it for me.
It was Mr. Math, good.
39%.
Okay.
Of the total tickets that were written.
Basically 40%.
Okay. So I think we use calendar year 2022 as our baseline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and staffing was good for a majority of that year, especially patrol services.
Yes, that's correct.
So now
started to dwindle probably around midsummer.
So now you're looking at what our benchmark was with staffing, and what I could do time on task, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that still gives us that percentage. I don't think the percentage will change. Mm-hmm. Total volume won't be 3,200 because I'm not going to necessarily have staff, right? Does that make sense? So I'm just trying to grab, we know what our percentage of time on task in the communities, now it's going to be that factor of when do I have staff? Because we know what the workload of staff is when I have staff. Does that make sense, mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Sure.
And okay. Kelly, you have a line on when the shifts are being, what shifts are missing, which ones
Yeah,
aren't.
Of course. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep, we keep track of that. So the reason why I brought these numbers up is because the question Director Booth asks is that in our RMA agreement to write these kind of citations, and is that in Measure J? And that agreement was 23 years old. And so what I
roughly the ink is just starting to dry.
I'm in favor of once the
well and right and so
maybe not the time.
When I responded to them, it's over the multi-year process of dealing with Measure J. Then
right.
The measure was put on the ballot. Communities given direction.
Right.
So now that the communities given direction, now it's time to sit down and start the process over.
Right. And I've started a wish list and things that we can look
exactly.
at.
Exactly. And I think, again, as we look at the numbers you're using, that tells us what's the value of the time on task and their priorities.
Right. Right.
And so... Because, again, at the end of the day, I just want the behavior modification. You know, if it's a stop sign, if it's a speed limit sign, if it says it closes somewhere between light sunset to medium sunset, you know, we're adhering to those things.
Right.
Okay.
Right, plenty of room for negotiations.
Yep.
So, great.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to bring up those. And going forward, we can go on to our next slide. Or...
And I don't know when that process starts. But I would think, and I think maybe in my response, I said it was going to be probably an April-ish, because I've got to let the board know, get direction from the board, thoughts,
sure.
input some of those things, and then share that with the GM and start kind of formulating, you know, where do we start, and really what are the expectations of RMA? I don't know.
Right.
Are you playing a piano?
Space Invaders.
I'm getting multiple. I told you I was popular. Email messages like crazy. I'll make that a little bigger for you.
I mean, it's fine, but yeah.
Okay.
Probably
and moving forward, there's our RMA button.
So, looks like you're pretty busy so far, huh?
Yeah.
So, wow, you guys are just killing.
17?
Yeah. Slow it down.
Right there.
Slow it down. Come on now.
Well.
So, I'm so sorry.
Okay, so you go to the next one. You go to this page.
Those to your house?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we can just... Yeah.
It's quieter.
It's quieter. Just turn the volume down. And then we need to get Paul back up. We can turn.
Right? Yes. Right,
okay, yeah, next one. Yeah, next one. Go ahead.
There's always that, Travis. Thank you for that simple solution.
There's our gate.
That's what I do. I just turn the email on.
Gate entries, no big surprise here. Nothing unusual. Our gate denials, about the same.
Are the gate denials starting to drop?
Go, you notice, look, you can go back to the gate denial.
As I was looking at it, and
I see Lookers 10-10. That's the same.
And I don't know if Lookers is technically the right term we should use there, but I understand we've defined it.
Lookers at the lake.
I'm just saying, okay?
We can change that.
I'm just saying. I don't want to go to
HR. Resident refuse 31 and 37. So that we are two, three, four.
Because
five,
I remember that being almost at 100.
Oh, wow.
A couple years ago.
Wow, wow.
And so I don't know if something educational wise, I don't know.
The gate officers per denial have to go in and do numerous data entries for it. It's like almost like a little report mm-hmm. of why they got denied, and I can bring that up at any time. So, since I've been here, these numbers have been about the same. They go up and down, but.
Because to me, that's a manageable number, right?
Right.
Because we used to have the park and lake access much higher, and we've kind of cracked down on that. And then the vendor ones used to be
when they were doing the construction. That was a lot higher. Now that's toned down a little bit, you're not seeing the vendors so much. Yeah.
Okay.
That number has gone down with the vendors as they finish their project. So yeah.
Kelly, just for my own edification, What exactly is resident refused?
Like when you call the resident, they say, no, I didn't let that person, I don't want them here.
Not that we refused a resident.
No, they're saying that they're refusing their guests. They're like, I don't want them here.
Understood.
And sometimes that's actually a vendor.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Because they'll go, I don't remember who it was, so right. Last person I saw was Butler, and so
I didn't
then
know
they
that
contact, and I stop using that vendor, I don't.
Salespeople, that kind of thing, follow up. Those are big things. Yeah. They'll say no.
No watchtower here.
Yeah, we're not interested in cable. Whatever. All that
good
stuff.
Got understood. Okay.
All right, Millie,
thank
we
you
on.
For that clarification.
Mm-hmm. The instance to notes. It's kind of like a episode of Rocky, I guess. Our gates have really been. taking a beating this month, so I'll start with that. On 114.
So are you Eagles fan? Is that why you threw Rocky in for Sunday?
I guess so.
What it is? Okay.
Didn't know I was. Eagles fan, what do you know?
Nice.
114, 2023 at 1700 hours, 5 o'clock. At the Southgate, CSD security was interviewing a resident from the garden community regarding an aggressive doorbell ditching incident. As a resident departed the Southgate, she collided with both gate arms and the magnetic box structure. A&D Gates responded and repaired the gate for a total cost of $269.24. The resident stated she would pay out of pocket for the damages to CSD. On 1-2-2023, at approximately 18:10 hours, CSD while on patrol observed the Largo left turn gate and the sensor was damaged at the north gate. The officer reviewed the cameras at the north gate and discovered a Toyota minivan had entered the turn lane and collided with the gate. The owner of the minivan admitted to hitting the gate and turned over the insurance information. The total cost to repair the gate was $448.73.
For my clarification, the driver of the vehicle didn't notify CSD?
And that's my last note. I was going to do the first two I've read and the next one, we only knew about it from our cameras and our follow-up investigations.
Continue on.
No one came forward. On 1-24-23 at 1100 hours, a CSD gate officer reported that an unknown maintenance employee driving a green golf cart had collided with the Southgate visitor arm. The employee drove through the closed arms and damaged the base and arm. The employee then stopped his golf cart for approximately 2 minutes. However, he never exited the vehicle or approached the gate officer. The employee, for unknown reason, then fled the area in his golf cart. The incident was caught in our video camera system. RMA compliance, using their radios, immediately responded to identify the person as a country club employee. The general manager of the country club conducted an investigation and verified it was a probationary employee who was terminated. The cost to fix the gate I just got yesterday is $1,000,
$1,048. Okay. And I do have that video.
And we do have the video. Now or at the end? You can do it now, I guess. Is it easier to do it now or at the end?
It's easier to do it when you ask me to do it.
You want to see it now?
Sure.
So okay, put it up.
Oh, it's going to be so exciting. Just wait.
We have video footage.
And then I...
So again, cameras are somewhat helpful.
Correct. In these three cases, yes. Here it is.
Is this it?
Yeah, that's it.
Wait for it.
So far, so good.
Now, Karen's in the booth. She's looking
at
him.
Funny that he stops and he's like...
Because he's waiting for Karen to...
And sneak through here.
And pulls right there. You see Karen coming to the gate, trying to get security on the phone.
Audio off. They're talking.
Well, that's probably better because Karen's probably saying a few things.
So we think he's going to get out and approach the gate, and he's able to start up his golf cart and took off. And there he goes.
I don't think you understand how critical getting the grass trimmed and all that stuff is, Kelly.
I guess Baron Law.
You could reiterate that to staff. Thank you.
So
I should have fast pass for you.
Right.
Because he came that way, when you go the other way and you hit the gates, they're used to that, and they pop off and pop back on. But because you came the other way, it's not designed to do that.
Right.
Now things have to be replaced.
He's taking the shortcut
as
opposed to go out the outbound lane, jump on, come underneath.
Cameron would have raised it for him if he would just waited a few
seconds. Right, but at the end of the day, you can still get to where he needs to go by going the golf course way out the exit. Okay?
Yeah, so there's that one. On 125, 23, at 6:40 hours at the Southgate, an RMA maintenance worker reported to our CSD gate officer that he had accidentally collided with our gate officer's vehicle while driving a street sweeper. CSD patrol officer responded and began an investigation. RMA staff was contacted and fully cooperated with our investigation and provided all insurance information for our CSD employee. The estimated cost to repair this vehicle is still pending. It's still ongoing. So he's estimating in his own head maybe $2,000, but we're still waiting to hear the final outcome with that.
Okay, so.
But again, with the. Oh, you want the total of all three?
No. Oh. So. Okay.
$2,700 or maybe?
No, that's fine. So I guess where I'm at, and this is discretion with the GM, the drivers that clearly don't make any effort, I'm not overly flexible. Where we have accidents do happen. We have vehicles, right? So you never make fun of a vehicle accident. Now, if you're not the driver or a driver, then you can have all the fun you want. So it's kind of one of those things. I think we have taken it in its totality. You know, there's been years past. We've tried to assist the country club and accidentally go off-roading. And, you know, we do that damage, right? And they've said, okay, it's fine. And, you know, what's that worse? So I'm going to update the board on these processes or thoughts, but again, I would kind of kick it to the GM to kind of go, I'm over the $1,000. You know, is there a threshold? I don't necessarily want us doing combat driving, but is it worth the paperwork of staff at all levels? That I don't know.
Well, you know, it depends on the level of paperwork. I mean, how much of a
that
for you, Kelly? I mean,
we should
take the money.
Well, it's
not costing us more to take it than it is.
Maybe also, are you talking about our time? Because and with these three cases, we had to do the investigation. They didn't come forward. We had to do an investigation ourselves, go out there, do the reports.
And see, those are those costs then that, to me, should be articulated
in the total?
To the resident. In the total. Because, again, our administrative costs is here, right? And so now when we have those outliers, it's now to here. And I think no different than the vandalism. We've had conversations with the RMA folks that the vandalism might be corrected by the volunteer that does all the graffiti cleanup, right? The staff time to get to that point, to identify who it is what is the billable portion of it, because it's time on task. Now, you and I have had that discussion. If it's in your normal duty hours, that's kind of one thing, right?
Yeah, these were.
But and a perfect example is the total staff time that was used for that hydrant that jumped out of that Ford Taurus and attacked it.
Right.
You know, the hydrant fix The equipment fix, pretty basic. But all that time, how do we recoup it? And that's part of that, I think, administrative cost that we're getting a better handle on. Again, I prefer it at staff level, and it comes to the board.
Yeah.
The board doesn't, and however you figure those things out, and I'll just kind of leave it at that, because staff's been good to say, is it worth to pursue 50 cents for $1.50, right? And that's kind of how government works. You just kind of go, all right, hey, but I am going to keep my little check marks over here, right? Saying, okay, we get out of free.
Yeah, and that's a discussion that Kelly and I haven't had, but, you know, my thought is, A, even if it does cost us a little bit to get the money, we have to pursue it to say, hey, you can't just do this and get away with it. So there's that aspect of it.
Right.
Then there's the other aspect, okay, if this takes us over a couple of hours to deal with, we should bill our time. You know, if it's during the day and it's not a special, we don't have to use any consultants or anything. So if it's just adding up our time.
In these cases, they were during our normal work hours. There was no overtime use. You're saying?
Well, no.
What I'm saying is if there's additional staff time over an hour or two.
Okay.
If you're having to spend, you know, half your day trying to track this down, we should bill out for your
staff
hours.
Okay.
Paula can get you your actual cost of the district rate, which is, in effect, your billing rate. We can add that to the bill. And we can just say CSD, fine administration, or we'll come up with some creative name for it.
Right, because at the end of the day, you know, ideally, part of the process was to have gate officers 1 and 2 is in their normal day. They could track down all this stuff, get it, goes to you, you know, and it moves up the food chain. But there's still a cost, and that's that part of if we're looking for behavioral modification, it's just like I said, I use the vandalism because it's so labor intensive to identify the resident, and what is that? There is a cost that is not part of the daily routine that we've had to pull somebody. Now, again, I get that it was a graveyard gate officer that could do all the tracking of the video. That's all designed, but there is still to put the staff report, then to move it forward, and now you're dealing, in some cases, with the insurance company. It's just that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and I would also, you know, part of that I would leave to you, Kelly, because you know what limited resources you have. So if we're extending over an hour or two for something, I think we start billing for his time. Maybe we'll talk about it.
Yeah,
maybe it's something like the first hour. That's just part of our duty. But then if it becomes extenuating, then we need to recover that time because you have limited resources.
Right. And with this, they agreed to it. But remember, we didn't call the CHP. These are hit and runs. These are crimes.
Right.
And we didn't request that in all three of those instances because they're cooperating. They're all paying it back. So that's something to look at, too, when we...
we'll have to have those discussions.
Yes, we will. Yeah.
But I have some ideas for you, man, what's reasonable, what's not reasonable. No matter what we do, it will be defensible because if we bill out time, then we need to record that in paychecks.
Sure, we can
do
that.
So when they say, oh, really? Well, what's your documentation? We print out the paychecks report.
Right, and you know, again, some of it is philosophical, right? Mm-hmm. So the board's got to weigh in. But the other part then is, what is reality? Again, well, the service we're trying to provide and how we provide it, there's still a cost. And I think that's where I'm trying to wrap my head around those things. And I always go back to the hydrant issue. That's a perfect example. It could have gone so much worse for that household. Now, I get they don't want to pay, but if we couldn't recover those tens of thousands of gallons of water, there was a cost there, right? And so you just go, wow. I'm not saying we do it every single time. I think it rests somewhere right here.
Right.
Then if there's pushback, that's why you have the elected to say, no, this is our philosophy, here it is, and we move forward.
And it gives you a value. If it's something substantial, you know, you can go up to $10,000, I think, for, you know, just doing a fouling a
Right. And I
comes to that.
I don't want to bog it down, but that's kind of the thought process that I want to run to the board. Obviously, these kind of things aren't going to go away.
No.
Why we don't have more people having issues at the gates and all those other things. And once construction starts back up, we start getting the trucks coming in, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, just,
right.
And again, RMA's dealing with that at the front gate with asphalt, just all the wear and tear, right?
Right.
That's built into that cost of construction. Okay, sorry.
So do you want me to add this to next month's committee meeting so that we can maybe get a
No, I would say,
okay.
Yeah, I have to do some homework first, so let me.
Okay.
And I will say that the first three, without the cameras, we wouldn't even be, it would just be out of CSD's pocket.
Correct.
The cameras and our investigation is what found it, and our guys are really on top of it, so kudos to them. And with that, that's the last thing I have. Is there any questions?
Because, Amelia, I've got to run this by the board and kind of see where we're at.
Sure.
So, just give me 1 second. Because again, it's kind of one of those, just for education purposes, at Travis's level, at staff's level, all three agencies work extremely well in spite of a knuckleheaded charge, right? So we do that cross usage of equipment, sometimes even staff to do stuff. And so you just go, at the end of the day, is it worth a dollar? You know? So, okay.
Okay.
We talked about the vest, which was item 4.
Okay, so we won't be talking about that. And then
discussion of number 5, staff safety.
And so Paula will be talking
yeah,
about
Paula.
This. I have to turn. Are you there, Paula?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, perfect.
So really quickly, we've had over the last 7 months, we've had some interesting encounters with residents and vendors in the front desk area. And we do have cameras in there where we are able to monitor and review footage. But in the last couple of weeks, there's been a couple of concerning interactions with members of the public that have gone beyond the level of intimidation and threatening and behavior, not necessarily in language, but it has a little bit of a concern for me and the safety of my staff. So I want to bring this to the Security Committee's attention. One of the things that we are actively pursuing is kind of formalizing the front desk and making it more of an actual utility billing counter as opposed to a reception counter. I think this will minimize the residents leaning over the counter, getting into staff spaces, potential of other actions that are not welcome towards staff, and peace of mind when interacting with some of the more aggressive or assertive customers. We recently had an incident a couple of weeks ago where a resident came in and was challenging staff and exhibited a little bit of aggressive behavior. So one of the things that we've done is reached out to a company to provide us with a couple of bids, look at some safety mitigation ways to offset some of that interaction, prevent that behavior from occurring. And then we're also looking at repositioning the cameras to get a better view of the interaction between the staff and the residents and the vendors that come through. We just want to make sure that staff is protected at all times. We're not looking at an extensive overhaul of that counter area, but we are looking at different ways to reconfigure it so that it's a safe environment for the staff, safe for the vendors and the residents, and create a little bit more of a professionalized utility billing counter as opposed to a very open, wide open reception space. We have had some incidents that we're just trying to mitigate. So I just wanted to bring this to the attention. We'll probably have future discussions once we receive the bids. But I just wanted to notify the committee that there are some concerns with some of the behaviors that we've encountered at the front desk. And I think in this day and age, it's probably time that we take some measures to mitigate that.
But Paula, I had a question. With your proposal, do you foresee there still being a reception area for people?
Because what we're looking at is two counter spaces, two separate workstations that will be separated. They will be, it will just be a reconfiguration or maybe a rework of that counter space. We're looking at two different scenarios. One would be completely revamping the whole area in the front versus creating those two separate workstations. Ultimately, when residents and vendors come in, they will still be greeted by someone. They will still have that public, that staff interaction with the public. It'll just be on a more protected basis.
That answer your question?
Yeah, to some extent. It's. I mean, I'm having trouble visualizing. I know we've talked about it a little bit. When I go to my doctor's office, there's like glass in front and a place to, put my credit card or, whatever information. Is that kind of what you're...
Sure.
You're not talking about moving any furniture or anything. You're just talking about like a divider. Is that correct?
Correct. So there would still be the, if maybe I didn't understand what you were asking. So there will still be the couches, the chairs, the whole lobby area. There will just be that partition between the two employees and the glass that separates the lobby area from the employee workstations.
So the separation between the two employees is more for an office management, and the glass in front is more of the security arrangement.
Not necessarily. The intent behind the partition between the two employees is that we have two staff up there, and to allow for privacy with customer interaction, sometimes we have vendors coming in while we have the public coming in, and they're standing in line waiting, so there's that appearance of only one person can help them, but creating that separation between the two workspaces will allow both residents, vendors, other members of the public to come in and be helped immediately as opposed to waiting for someone to assist them. So it serves a multitude of purposes, not just necessarily office management, but also the safety as well.
Yeah, that's
your question.
Yeah, that answers my question. Thank you.
So Paula, I think the answer is yes. Couple of issues. I would ask on the reconfiguration for staff, we also tie it into what the expectation is going to be as we move forward with the Tyler project and what staffing looks like in the finance section, if that makes sense. I assume
yes.
Uzis are out, and that would be the easy answer.
I voted for ballistic windows when they put them up there like, yeah, but a bank.
So I think as you move forward, a couple of things. In most governmental agencies, this was done post 9/11, quite honestly, even at the lowest levels. I think the reconfiguration for the workspace, we've identified huge issues trying to get productivity out of specific where you sit out up front, right? So I think that adds a whole lot of validity to this movement of the process. So I don't think I'm in favor of a redecorating and just all that, but I think we need to move it forward that addresses, if it's the safety issue that brought it forward, at the end of the day, again, a high priority, a very close second, is what is staffing going to look like and the expectations, right? And so that adds then to this process. So I would just say, Paul, as you move forward, cameras are critical. How we do our customer service, what's that perception with the safety issue involved? And then, again, one of the top two or three issues is productivity then for those workstations. So, again, the answer is yes. I don't know what yes looks like. So, as we move it forward, I don't know what committee or if it has to go to a committee as we come up with the designs.
Security probably.
Yeah, I don't know. So as we move it forward, I'll get the board updated on the thought processes and then get some feedback and I can work it back to staff. But as you work it through, that would be my thought process off the top of my head.
And one other thing, Paula, and I don't know where we are with, there was some discussion a while back about an automated payment process. So just keep in mind that process when we move forward with
yes,
what you propose.
Correct. So we are with the Tyler system moving forward for utility billing. Our anticipated go live date is still April 1st. Along with that is the Tyler payment portal, and there will be on-site point of sale machines that will be that we will have in the office, so that residents will be able to come in and swipe their cards and pay their bill instead of coming in and giving us a check. So with that functionality, we'll be able to process more payments a little bit quicker, and then we'll have that available for the residents probably within the next couple of months once they do the installation. So the timing of the front desk won't impact any of those systems, but they will be here within the next couple of months.
So my immediate thought process to that, Paula, is once we put those machines in, the amount of time a staff member is going to go around into the lobby to help them go through the machine. The analogy I'll use is when you check in with Southwest, I appreciate all the kiosks, but when they see an idiot like me coming, they got to come over and push the same button I can't push. So access in and out of the lobby moving forward, let's get ahead of that, whether it's just a simple fob, something to where the other person has to stop from what they're doing to let the other person in. Does that make sense? So just get that global look.
I think I didn't explain it correctly. These are the type of point of sale machines that you would swipe at like the grocery store. So when you're
I understand
it's just a credit card reader.
Right. There's still the
you can make a payment at the counter.
And I agree 1,000% where you're going and what you're trying to do. Our clientele is special. And it's going to take some time on task working with them. And so again, just if we're going to do some upgrades, then I think as Kelly's involved, where are we out 3 years, 5 years, 8 years from now? Do we have to identify and have one person open it, or is it a fob? And we kind of work through those things.
Yeah, I think what Tim's alluding to is we would want to put that into the design of whatever safety improvements you have in mind to make, you know, maybe the machine is like right there and they can just reach around and help, or who knows?
Yeah.
Or maybe there's a little door they go.
Right. Or it's like the drive up, you know, you put it in, we do whatever, and send it back out to you.
The pneumatic tube.
Yeah, there
technology.
We go.
Technology.
Thank you.
Okay.
So Paula, in you know, all seriousness aside, I think it's appropriate to be brought up. I'd rather it be brought up on the efficiency side as opposed to the safety side that staff's bringing up. Predominantly, it's female oriented. So yes. Again, the answer is yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Item six. Thoughts or comments from staff?
Not this time.
Okay. Again, we're getting there. We know more some that was great English on my part, more better. Mm-hmm. We're understanding more of the budget, what it's going to look like. I think we're going to be able in the next couple of months plot out what does summer look like. Again, can we use the sheriff's, split those costs with RMAs we've done in the past, so we can sit down and have those discussions at the GM president level, kind of identify those things. I think where Kelly's going, getting that coordination of RMA, what'll be interesting is to see if they're tracking kind of their same numbers of time on task for citations or those types of things, so we can kind of get a feel what is the new base like, and maybe those hours type of thing. But at the end of the day, it's not an impossible task, it's just an impossible ask. So with that, I do applaud staff for always coming forward and trying. So that goes to everybody. Not seeing any hands raised with the members of the public. Suns in my eyes, let me double check. I don't see any. With that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Amelia, thank you.
Thank you.